For example, at the Last Supper, he prayed that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Or again at the Last Supper, the words we hear at every Mass, as Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Very consoling words of unity and peace. But then today we hear something very different from the Prince of Peace. As he tells us, "Do you think that I have come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." The Gospels record Jesus saying things like this on several occasions. For example, St. Matthew records him saying something very similar, but even harder. He says, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." How can Jesus promise peace and unity, but also claim that he comes not to bring peace and unity, but the sword and division? There's only one way that this makes sense, a way that is clearly consistent with the rest of Scripture. Jesus does come to bring peace, but not the peace of the world, rather his peace. And he comes to bring unity, but not unity with the world, but rather unity with him and with his heavenly Father. Jesus knows that just as surely as he brings unity and peace into the world to those who follow him, he also brings division between himself and those who follow him on one side and those who choose not to follow him. This division is clear and spectacularly simple. Elsewhere in Scripture, he tells the apostles, "He who is not with me is against me." And we shouldn't be surprised, since it was predicted or prophesied at his birth when the prophet Simeon told his mother in the temple, he said, "This child is destined to be the downfall and the rise of many in Israel, a sign that will be opposed." It was even promised almost from the beginning of time, from the very first time that man put himself in opposition to God. As God promised the serpent in the Garden of Eden, he said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed." Jesus knew that he was calling for radical change in his disciples, that by placing yourself with him, you will often discover yourself to be in opposition to the world. He knew that living this life would be a truly difficult struggle, requiring sometimes great sacrifice. This opposition might even sometimes involve violent opposition, which means that we are in a battle, but not a battle in the sense that the world normally fights battles, because this is a battle that involves Jesus. So it's not a war inspired by hatred for the opposition, but a war inspired by love for those who hate us. It's not a war that seeks to bring death to the enemy, but a war that seeks to bring eternal life to the entire world. And unlike any merely human battle, the promise of peace and unity is still experienced, even if you will, in the heat of battle, by all who, as St. Paul says, keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. All of us are called to this radical new life in Christ. He calls us not to be afraid, but to allow our hearts to be ablaze with the fire that he brings into the world. The fire that we so vividly see manifested on Pentecost as the Holy Spirit descended on the first disciples, on the church. That fire still burns in the church, so unfortunately not so brightly in all the members. So ask yourself today, does the fire of Christ burn brightly in your life so that living in a world you truly do live as Christ did, as a sign that will be opposed? Do you live in love like you really believe in Jesus and his church? Or do you live in fear of being seen as somehow different or in opposition to the rest of the world? It's very hard to to do this, to live as a sign opposed. Sometimes you even find yourself opposed by your own family members, as Jesus suggests in today's gospel. I know many of you have experienced it. I've experienced it. Some of you parents find it difficult to correct your children and teach them your values, the values of Christ. Sometimes it seems you're fighting a losing battle with the media and the schools that teach your kids a completely opposite set of values. You tell your son to respect authority and to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. And then his favorite athlete, his hero, is arrested for trashing a hotel room and then resisting arrest. You try to teach your daughter to dress modestly with true respect for herself and her body, but then her favorite website has pictures of fashionable women who are half naked and her friends dress that way, so why can't she? You try to teach them the truth about the dignity of sexuality and the beauty of marriage and the amazing meaning of being created in the image of God as male and female. And then their schools tell you that none of that matters, being male or female, it's all fluid. And to think anything different is to be a hater. Or you have older children who stop going to church, or who are cohabitating with their boyfriend or girlfriend, or who are married outside the laws of the church. Or you have a son or daughter who tells you that they're gay. And kids, you really want to do the right thing. You want to live a clean and sober life in chastity and in charity with others, but your friends make fun of you for that and pressure you to sin. Sometimes it even comes from your parents. You want to go to Mass or to confession, but your parents are too busy to take you. Or maybe you're interested in becoming a priest or nun, and your family looks like you're crazy. There's a vast division between life that Jesus has called us to and the life of the world that we live in. But the divisions don't end there. There's still another troubling division that exists in the life of everyday Christians. The very real state of division that exists in the separation of the Orthodox and Protestant Christians from the fullness of unity with the Catholic Church. Many of these non-Catholic Christians truly do stand for Christ and are opposed by the world, but at the same time they sadly place themselves in opposition to the fullness of grace, truth, and faith that Christ handed on to his apostles and their successors to be protected and shared with his people today. And again, the divisions don't stop there. Every day we see painful divisions among Catholics. Sometimes we suffer more from our fellow Catholics than we do from those who categorically and formally oppose the Church. It was 28 years ago tomorrow that I left my hometown of San Antonio, where I grew up and went to school and had worked for 31 years. I left there to move to Arlington to begin my studies for the priesthood. I would have never left San Antonio if the church there hadn't been in a state of absolute division, priests and laity alike, in open opposition to the teaching of Christ and his church. My life has been affected radically by that opposition, and I'm sure yours has too. Very real and sad divisions exist, and they can be a terrible source of discouragement. But you must not let divisions, either in the family or with the world or in the church, lead you to give up what you believe, lead you to compromise God's truth for some false or passing sense, false sense of unity in or of the world. Rather, as St. Paul says today in the second reading, he says, "Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith." He says, who endured the cross, but then took his seat at the right of the throne of God. Consider, St. Paul says, how he endured such opposition from sinners in order that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Do not let opposition dampen your spirits or drown your faith, but rather let the fire of Christ blaze in you and strengthen your zeal. Don't let it be a fire of hatred for your enemies, but a fire of love for Christ. And let his fire purify your intentions and spread from you to warm the hearts of those who are cold or lukewarm to Christ. As we now enter more deeply into the mystery of the Holy Mass, the Eucharist, the sacrament of the peace of Christ and of union with Christ, holy communion with him, let us pray for ourselves and one another, that we may truly live in communion with Jesus and never place ourselves in opposition to him. Let us pray for our families and our friends, that Christ might heal all divisions. Let us pray for all Catholics and all Christians who are divided from the full unity of the Catholic faith, and for those divided from the Church entirely. Let us pray that the burning fire of the Holy Spirit may dwell up in his Church, transforming us into one consuming blaze that will spread into the whole world, burning away all that divides us from the perfect unity and peace of Jesus Christ. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.